Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the
Andre Vasilevsky Appreciation Podcast. Number 88 in white and blue proves that sometimes stealing is okay. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network. Good morning, Tampa Bay. My name is Tom Lang, and it is a pleasure to be talking to you on a Friday morning in which the Tampa Bay Lightning have evened the series at two. If I didn't watch it myself, the conclusion of the game, that is, I wouldn't have believed it, because at the second intermission in a 2-2 game in which the Lightning had been thoroughly dominated for the balance of 25-plus minutes, it didn't seem like we had a prayer. But that's what goalies can do for you. And that's what a goalie did for us on Thursday night. So since we last spoke on Tuesday morning, two wins were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning procured one of them, and Andre Vasilevsky stole the second. What an unbelievable night for Tampa's number one goaltender. I think everyone in the building, everyone watching on television, and even Andre Vasilevsky himself learned a little bit about Andre last night. That he can step up in the biggest of moments and play like the elite goaltender we've seen in the regular season. He's had sterling performances in the past, but the pressure has never been on Andre Vasilevsky the way it was in Game 4 in Washington, D.C. Make no mistake, even a Stanley Cup Finals performance as the backup to Ben Bishop is still a performance as a backup. Last night, the pressure is on you. We're not getting anything going, especially in that second period, our most dominated period in the entire playoffs. And yet he stood tall and followed the puck. He had x-ray vision. He had the agility of an acrobat. Somebody from Cirque du Soleil. And we needed every ounce of what Andre gave to us last night. And it proved to be just enough for us to tie the series at two. For the rest of today's podcast, I will be, every time I say the name Vasilevsky, hitting a sounder, because we should all lie prostrate at his feet today. So here is what the sounder will be every time I say the name Vasilevsky henceforth. Catch me and let me know if I've forgotten. Yes. Magic. Miraculous. We had to have it, and the goalie stood tall. Unbelievable. New life in the series. It's a best of three. Tampa gets two of those games at home. I know it doesn't seem like that's a good thing, but with Washington being 7-1 on the road and obviously taking the first two of this series, both at Amalie Arena. But you have new life here. And the good news is that there were moments in these two games in Washington where we looked better. The bad news is they weren't the bulk of the moments. You know, after four games in the Tampa Bay-Boston series, I thought that Tampa was the better team. We were the better team by and large, 70-80% of the series. I think that's the absolute opposite case of where we are right now in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, I thought the Bolts' effort in the first two games was understated, was indifferent at times. It didn't match the circumstance that we're in. Just, you know, four wins away at that time. Playing for the Cup. You're four wins away. And it looked like we were playing, as John Cooper said in his post-game press conference after game one, we were playing in the middle of the regular season, game 38. In game three, we had more desperation. There's a stretch in the second period of game three where we actually carry the play and dominate Washington. But it wasn't the bulk of the game. That game was closer to 50-50. It's that we scored a couple of power play goals. And then obviously the even strength goal, which is an unbelievably patient play by Nikita Kucherov in the right circle, if you're looking at it from the offensive perspective, and the pass to Victor Hedman, who puts it in a wide open net. Even with a 3-0 lead, we played a little bit better than Washington. I don't know that we played a whole lot better. And then obviously the backbreaking goal there was Braden Point off the broken play. Faceoff win, Coburn to the front of the net, and Braden Point puts it home. But, you know, in game four, that whole second period, what do you think? Out of 100%, how much percentage possession did Tampa Bay have? 15? Maybe 20? Washington had the puck in our zone the entire period. And where this game turned, I think Coach Cooper alertly pointed it out last night. Sometimes a coach's post-game press conference, it may be about message sending and spin. But I think Coach Cooper was 100% honest and certainly on point assessing what happened in Game 4. Here's a clip of that, and I'll react to it in a moment.
Is this, to an extent, a classic case of a win is a win? Any survival feelings?
Well, we won a game where we didn't have our A game. But if you really look at that game, I mean, it was our strong play was bookend by some poor play. And it... like, we had a really good first period going until, but you can't spend the last, whatever, 7.5 minutes. I mean, basically killing penalties the whole time. So, yeah, we need the period in there because we just, you know, all the penalty killing we were doing, but our guys were gassed. I mean, that's a lot of stress, mental stress. It's, you know, the same guys are on the ice the whole time. Other guys aren't playing. You kind of lose your rhythm. And, I mean, I think I looked at Braden Point's ice time. I don't even know if he had 3 minutes after the first period. You know, all the guys weren't getting on the ice. And I think that affected our second. Give Washington a ton of credit. They pushed. We were holding on. That's when we really needed Vass. And he was there for us. And then third period was fine. And then, you know, when we scored the go-ahead goal, we were a completely different team. And I thought we just took the game over after that. And until they got to the 6-on-5, which obviously is an advantage for them. But, you know, that the second period was a huge issue, and that's when you need your guy. And Vassy stepped up.
No, that's 100% right. Andre Vasilevsky. See? Didn't forget. Was the reason. And he's absolutely right when he says that at the end of the first period, it's those three consecutive penalties, two of which are a little weak, but the one you can't have. I mean, it just can't happen, Victor Hedman. You can't be the retaliator in that moment. I don't care that you get cross-checked in front of the net, the slash to the wrists. That's all she wrote, man. And we did everything we could to kill those penalties off, but we forfeited momentum. I thought we had a good bit of momentum in the first period working our way. Washington takes the 1-0 lead. Andre Vasilevsky was stellar in the beginning, but it's 1-0, and then we come back, tie the game on a tic-tac-toe play off of a terrible Washington turnover, and then the power play goal gives us a 2-1 lead. We were building towards something that was going to resemble a Game 3 stretch, but it never went that way because of consecutive penalties, and I do believe you can lose momentum and routine and rhythm when you don't have your regulars out there rotating as the four lines need to rotate. And that's just hard. There are a couple of key plays, too, in the second period where we can get the puck deep. There's one, I forget who made the pass, but we finally get it out of our zone after an extended stay. And instead of getting to the red line and dumping it deep, our player passed it to the bench where we had a tired forward changing. Hits him in the back. Next thing you know, Washington continues to have possession, and here we go again. It's the little things here in this series. It's momentum. I mean, if you don't believe in momentum prior to this series, after watching four games, I think you understand it's a real thing now, especially for the Capitals. They play and feed off of momentum. They aren't as up and down the ice fast as Tampa, but you wouldn't know it when momentum is on their side. It's like a freight train. It takes a little while to get to top speed, but once it does, there's not much you can do with it. Unless you have Andre Vasilevsky. Which, thankfully for us today, we did. I didn't really touch on it after games 1 and 2, the talk about going to Louis Domingue. That's absurd. It always was absurd. That's why I really didn't give it any time at all, but I heard Coach refer to it in the post game, and he absolutely should. The first two losses are about what we did not do. The difference in Game 4, though, that has to have you a little bit concerned. I thought in the second period we did everything we possibly could to wriggle free from the boa constrictor's rib-crushing effect. But Washington kept us locked in. there's nothing we could have done. How much time did we spend in the second period, you know, chasing the cycle? It looked like we were just watching Washington cycle back and forth, continue possession time, and then we have to collapse into a five-man defensive structure because we're out of gas. We've been on the ice for a minute, minute and a half. It reminded me of watching a football game and having just terrible field position for the balance of an entire quarter or an entire half. You're starting inside your own 10-yard line. You can't really call your whole offense. The playbook is whittled down to about, 10-20%. Try to get off of your goal line, create space for yourself. You end up punting, and there they have the ball again at the 40-yard line. And you're just pinned back constantly. But we survived it at 2-2. The Kuznetsov goal off of an incredible pass from Alex Ovechkin, who is playing Hall of Fame level hockey, two-way hockey. It's probably one that Vasilevsky needs to save. But when he makes so many point-blank saves and he tracks the puck so well, I'll forgive him for one that goes through the five hole. Washington had a breakaway right after the game-tying goal. It reminded me of Boston in Game 4. You get a tying marker, and then there's a point-blank opportunity within 10 seconds after that goal. Vasilevsky made the save in the second round of the playoffs. He made the save in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so here we sit with new life. But if we play the way we have for four games, this series will probably go six, and that's because Washington will have closed it out by Monday night. So there's a lot of good feelings this morning. You feel like you're given a new chance. You've dug yourself out of the hole, but it has to come with the understanding that overall play has to improve markedly. It can't just be more of the same. You can't lean responsibly. You cannot lean on your goaltender to do what he had to do Thursday night. That's not a winning formula. Even if he got you another win by doing that, that's not up to our standard. I was a little disappointed in the effort last night, but for the first time in the series, I really looked at it and said to myself, this Washington team, don't let them get the upper hand because they'll squeeze the life out of you. I'm just so thankful we have Andre Vasilevsky. Did I miss one in the middle there? I probably did. Whew! So here we go. Saturday night, 7:15 p.m. It'll be one of those situations, again, where if you're watching on television, like I will be, you get antsy as the Preakness is going through its post-race interviews. Like, get these over with. The hell with the horse. I don't care about the jockey. Let's go. Throw it to Emily. Lot of things we need to clean up. We'll talk about some of the schematics of what we've watched in games 3 and 4 on the other side. But this first segment has to be positive, and it has to be about number 88. He stole the show. He is, by this performance alone, your leading candidate for the Conn Smythe. Andre Vasilevsky, 1, Tampa Bay Lightning, 1, Washington Capitals, 2. Good thing he's on our side, everybody. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Subscribe to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast at Google Play and iTunes. Subscribing is free, and you'll get an alert every time a new podcast posts. Hit the podcast button on your iPhone, search Joe Bolts, and it's right there. Find the podcast at Player FM 2. More platforms are always on the way, and be sure to leave a review, especially at iTunes, because we love the feedback. Now back to the show.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
How can you not be in love with your goaltender today, Tampa Bay? My goodness. Enjoy this tune for about 5 more seconds on a Friday. Andre was the cure. Aw, da-dum. I'm not going to do the sounder for three stars today because, you know, the number one star is the same as the number three star and the number two star between them. It's Andre Vasilevsky. He gets six stars, and I'm not being short-sighted because everything we did up to the point of last night in Game 3, I mean, this series is over if it is not for his heroics. It would all be moot. So there you go. The power play, I guess, would be the second star if there actually was something other than Andre Vasilevsky, and I'll ditch the harp bit for right now, if there was something other than him to talk about. But let's talk schematics and what we've seen in games 3 and 4. Obviously, the line shifting, the shuffling of lines 1 through 3 was the talked about change for John Cooper, where the Lightning alertly in their morning skate and their pregame skate, the line rushes were identical to games 1 and 2 prior to Tuesday night's game 3. And then once the game started, he moved some players around. Andre Palat is now playing with Stamkos and Kucherov. Your second line consists of Braden Point and Yanni Gourde and Tyler Johnson. Your third line is Cirelli, Killorn, and Miller. And then he did not touch the fourth line. And that's smart. We, you know, as we said Tuesday morning, that's the only line that's sticking to the plan series to series. Get the puck in, play north-south. And that still is kind of the case here. The hard part about shifting lines, and I don't remember these combinations all that often, is the chemistry is, you know, you're playing with fire a little bit. So if you go bad and the passes look disjointed and guys don't anticipate where other guys are going to be, it can get tough. But there's no doubt that John Cooper kept pairs of players together who are used to playing with one another this season. You know, Stamkos, Kucherov have played a lot together lately. Gordon, Point have worked always pretty well with each other. And then Cirelli and Killorn have played with one another an awful lot. One of the bright spots, you know, besides the power play, was last night's performance from Anthony Cirelli, who's called Tony sometimes, whatever. Cirelli, number 71, is growing up a little bit in this series. He looked overmatched for a big portion of the first three games. But last night, after being out physical a little bit, he started to respond and find his footing again. I don't know that you can count on Cirelli to be consistently the player he has been up to this point and up to this series. But he's growing and he's learning, and he doesn't try anything crazy. So it's good to see him get the goal last night, because I think it was for the limited time that he did play, given how much special teams work there was last night. It was a just reward for him coming along. A player that I'm not thrilled with right now, and he's just having a really rough go of it. I don't care if the stat book says he has zero giveaways like it does from last night. Ryan McDonagh, his internal clock, it's like me so far this segment, or largely in this podcast. It's just boom, 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 boom. The game is moving a little fast for him. He's panicking. He is not taking his time with the puck, that extra half second, you know, the inhale and then the play. There's a lot of panicked moments and icings when there should be passes, skating the puck when there should be a clear, and then blindly throwing the puck up the wall or reversing it when that's not the prudent play. And when he's going well, he knows better. 27 has to get an awful lot better, but I think what you're seeing is some cracks forming mentally for the Lightning because of the consistent pressure from Washington these first four games. You really have to establish a forecheck going out there in Game 5. And I wonder, and this is an interesting question for Cooper as they're on the plane ride back last night and thinking about it today, do you go back to your original lines? Do you do some more shuffling? I know I've dipped in this well once before. We stayed the course and things worked out. But consider this. You're home. You're playing at home, so you get the matchups you want by and large. Do you go back to combinations that saw more chemistry as you're trying to generate more offensive zone time? Or do you stick with what you have right now? That'll be an interesting decision. That's for John. I really don't have any thoughts on that in terms of what's the right thing to do. All I know is that the result needs to be there. We need to spend more time in Washington's zone. That's the only way to stop this train from rolling, and it rolling it is. I will say also today, I was wrong about Washington. You know, if you're waiting for that, here it is. I was wrong about Washington. They're better than I thought they were. I thought games one and two still, even with the context of three and four, I think games one and two were about us and what we didn't do. But this game four, it's a wake-up call. That second period, we were trying. We were desperate. It didn't matter. So they can impose their will for long stretches, and we need to be aware of that and try to counter that as best we can by getting out of our zone, especially in the second period with the long change. This happens to us an awful lot over the years. With a long change, we just don't seem to make the plays necessary to get to the bench and get fresh defensemen out there or a full complement of our three forwards to change from one line to the next. We really, really struggle with that. And if that means more support on the way out of the zone, the forwards need to come back and we need to stack this house of cards very neatly and orderly instead of trying to stretch pass, then so be it. But the other thing that schematically is concerning to me, and this is something that I talked about on Twitter. You can follow me at @_TomLang. It's a philosophical deal with the penalty kill. There are a lot of talking points this series on the NBC broadcast where you hear the term pressure points. And it's used only for Washington because we don't believe in these, apparently. But when we are on the power play, and even in game three when we score, I think it was the Stamkos goal, what Washington did to force us to move the puck tested every bit of our talent. I mean, they pressured us. They didn't let us get comfortable. They closed gaps. They forced us to make decisions. And our power play is just so damn gifted that we made the right calls. And we got the puck where it needed to go. And we retrieved it in a 50-50 situation like Braden Point did before the third the Kucherov goal in the second period. But they forced the issue. Our penalty kill does not do that. If we don't get the puck off the faceoff or you don't fumble the puck, we're going to drop into either our box or diamond, but we're going to drop into our four-man set and then hold down the fort and hope. Man, you know, I don't know that that's the formula. If Vassie's playing otherworldly, it'll look okay because they're not going to convert. They're one of their last 10. But it doesn't look like it in terms of zone time and pressure that Washington's put out, that they are one of 10 on their power play. That's going to be something that we'll have to talk about probably another day because I don't think you change your stripes, you know, philosophically speaking. We do it with the 6-on-5, too. Last night, we just got pinned in our zone, so we ran out of gas, and that's what you have to resort to in times of desperation. But in game three in the 6-on-5 situation, I don't care it's a 3 or a 2-goal lead. You can't be content to just not even try to generate a turnover or get the puck out of the zone or pressure a forward. That's a little tough. Washington, you could tell, too, last night, even when they were trailing, Washington just, they always have three guys back on their blue line. Sometimes we have two because we're aggressive in the forecheck. Washington is about defense first. Barry Trotz has been that way for a long, long time. It dates back to Nashville. So playing from in front continues to be a massive key in this series. Special teams will continue to be perhaps the difference in this series, but you have to wonder about mentality here. Washington completely aired it out last night. If I'm a Capitals fan, Capitals broadcaster, whatever, I am thoroughly fascinated / worried about how mentally they're going to respond to this situation. Washington had not been the favorite in a series since losing the first two to Columbus in the first round. They were the underdogs from that point on in that series. They were the underdogs to Pittsburgh. They were the underdogs to the Lightning through the first two games. It wasn't until that point that they were the favorites in a series. And now, going back home with a 2-0 lead and blowing that lead with Tampa's goaltender stealing game four, what's their mentality going to be like? Are they going to double down and control the game for stretches like they did in game four? Or could we take advantage of a skittish Washington Capitals team? Momentum matters greatly. Desperation matters too. And we cannot have a duplicate effort of games one and two with our intensity. There's a lot to chew on here today. And the most important thing is that if that's going to be the Vasilevsky from here on out that we see, that's a game changer because it increases our confidence before the puck is even dropped. As a Lightning defenseman or forward, you have more confidence to go make a play because you believe in the guy behind you. And Vasi was doing that in October through about January. I mean, he was the MVP of the first part of the season, and there wasn't even a second place. Just like last night, there wasn't a second or a third star. That's the way he played in the first half of the season. If he's going to be that guy, that changes things. But we have to get better from goal line to goal line. We have to be better about possession of the puck, and we have to do a better job of disrupting what Washington does, because right now they have been the better team for 75% of this series. Good news, though, everybody. Hope springs eternal. At least until tomorrow night at 7:15, we have a new chance. And hopefully we're lucky enough to realize that it's time to do Vasi a solid, because he's done us something crazy. That is one of the great performances in Tampa Bay Lightning history from any goaltender that's ever played here, and we've had some good ones, Nick Hobby-Bullen being the first to come to mind. But I can't remember a performance as good as Vasi's in such a one-sided affair for the opponent. He straight stole the game. Thanks for listening to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Nervous times are ahead. We'll speak to you, I do believe, next Tuesday morning. Hopefully the series is resolved for a good reason, but we've got to elevate our game. Bring it tomorrow night, Tampa Bay. Bring the energy in that building. Washington has a great atmosphere, at least when they're winning. But bring that energy tomorrow night, and let's see what we can do here. Because, oh man, it's great to be out of the hole. We'll have fun with this on Saturday and Monday, and we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully the season is still alive, and maybe we are one series closer to the Stanley Cup. Frankly, I'll take a split at this point, but hopefully we're still playing for the right reasons, all right? So thanks for listening, everybody, and I hope you're having such a good Friday, because I am too. No LA woman today. Vasi, I don't know what his theme music is, but if I had it, I'd play it. One more little sounder for Andre on the way out, and we'll give you some of The Cure. All right, everybody, have a great day.